ripple effect. This is the Empowering Youth Podcast from Building Utah Youth. A nonprofit organization established in 2007 to provide powerful leadership training to the youth of our communities. And now, here's your host, by board member, co-owner of Rapport International, and certified trainer, Brett Johnston.
Hello, welcome back to the Empowering Youth Podcast. I'm Brett Johnston.
I'm JJ Chinowski.
I'm Jamie Doak.
And tonight we have a very special guest, Mr. Jeff Martinez. Thank you for showing up tonight, Jeff.
Thank you for having me.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah, we are going to have some fun because normally we bring on the teen graduates and we want to hear the teens' stories. So before we dive into your story, really I want the audience to know who you are, you know, a little bit about what you do and the most important part, why you do it.
Okay. Well, right now I'm an assistant principal at Ben Lomond High School in Ogden School District. I was at Mount Ogden Junior High for the last 4 years, worked at Ogden High in a couple of different roles and started teaching later on in life after I've gone through kind of different industries and started teaching. I was about 37 years old when I started doing that.
Yeah, that was a midlife crisis.
Yeah.
Yeah, 37 years old. I'm going to go start teaching.
Found myself. Yep.
Found yourself in Ogden School District.
Yep. And I'm lucky I found it.
Yeah. It's a big, beautiful family. Why do you do it?
There is a lot of history of my journey. And, you know, one of the things that I wanted to make sure that I did is have a bigger purpose than myself. And education just kind of led me into that after working in different businesses and working in leadership roles and, you know, different companies. And I just never felt satisfied. And I feel like I needed to bring something back to the community and kind of right some wrongs that I've had in my own personal past.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. But what I really hear you saying is you had a calling to give.
Yeah.
You really, it was calling to you to show up and give back. And based on your life experience, we're going to walk through here shortly, that led you to having, you know, we talk about, or it's often talked about, people are best equipped,
right,
to share and coach and mentor and teach others of things that they themselves have experienced and walked through.
Right.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So where do you want to start on your story?
Well, I guess we could start on the journey of why I became an educator.
Let's go back even further than that. Where'd you grow up? Yeah. Where did you live when you grew up? I want to hear this story. I know we can kind of cruise through it a little bit, but okay. I want to know where Jeff came from.
Okay. Yes.
So I grew up in Roy, still there, haven't left. I said never left Mayberry, if you know that reference.
Yeah.
So, you know, I grew up, my mom and dad, with two brothers, one older, one younger, and we just kind of tore up the streets when we were kids and, you know, got into some trouble and things like that. But it was, you know, I can't complain about my childhood. It was great.
How many brothers, sisters?
Yeah, family.
I had one older brother and one younger brother.
Oh, yeah. Yep. You were the middle.
Wild child.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was the...
Middle's got the older role model. You're still doing the trailblazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you were growing up in Roy, what really stood out to you about the community of Roy, like your neighborhood, even friends to some degree?
You know, I think that they're very diverse where I grew up. I mean, there was, you know, there are different demographics. I think that everybody was pretty, you know, inclusive. I don't think anybody left anybody out. We had kind of the neighborhood where we just all just went door to door and gathered everybody up to play football or go play in the fields or whatever we were doing. So,
yeah. So are we talking about like the 80s?
Yeah. So I graduated in 95.
So we're talking about the 80s. Yeah. That was nice. Yeah. Good.
Yep.
All right. So running around door to door, pretty close to everybody in the neighborhood.
Yep.
You know, everybody kind of played with everybody.
Yep.
That's for painting the picture in your perspective. That's why I want to paint that for a moment. And then let's talk about junior high.
Yep.
That's when you start to get a little bit wider.
Yep.
Footprint.
Yep. And I found some friends. And to me, they were great friends. We did some, you know, we became that group of kids that developed a reputation of being the troubled kids.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So, and that was kind of my experience in school, was just, I was not a great student, and I think I was bored a lot of the time. So I behaved, you know, pretty badly.
How was learning at the time? Because we can talk about this, you being an educator now. Have you identified your learning modalities or your learning style, and did school at the time fit you?
No, and absolutely not. And that's one of the things that I'm grateful to be an administrator now, is I'm able to talk to teachers in that perspective of,
there's nothing wrong with the student.
Right.
They do not learn in the way you are teaching
them. Exactly. They're not bad kids. They're just, something's missing.
They've got other superpowers. Them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when we learn a lot about kids, because kids go see doctors now a lot more than we did growing up. And today we get a lot of ADD, a lot of ADHD, a lot of anxiety, a lot of depression, a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just a lot of kids that, you know, that has been delivered to them as they have this. This is you, right? And so, I mean, I look at that time and I go, most of the kids back then that were a little bit ADD or, you know, just, you know, there's wound different. Uh-huh. That wasn't really a thing. And so there wasn't a lot of, you know, focus on it and or flexing in teaching to change the approach so that you were in a setting where you could thrive.
Right. Absolutely. And I think that we're able to identify some of those diagnoses now. And, you know, absolutely, there are a lot more than they were. We're able to modify and adapt, and as educators, as parents, as adults in these young people's lives, of how, what is the best way to reach every child.
Yeah. So we're not leaving them behind. Right. There's nothing wrong with them.
Right.
Right. Cause I know so many like super successful people that have those same, you know,
yep.
same skill sets.
Yep. And as I tell some of those kids, it's a superpower. You absolutely. Just need to learn how to use
yeah.
it.
Got to learn so how to true. Focus it.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, so, but did you feel different because you were like that?
I guess in a way, with some of the way that the adults responded to me, they just thought that I was just, you know, trying to cause problems. And, you know, so at some point I kind of was, when I was pushed to a, you know, to like, okay, nobody cares. So I'm just going
to get the attention somehow.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Because I think, you know, how did your parents respond? You know, how did your parents work with you?
I love my parents. I don't know how they survived with the three of us. They're great parents. My mom has passed, but she was a strong woman that, you know, disciplinarian, but also wanted to teach us. And she was a great leader. My dad was very creative and spent a lot of time with us. You know, he's an artist and a cabinet maker. And
did that help you?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So when you were doing stuff with your hands, did you feel more settled?
Yep. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yep. And it helped me focus my energy, my ideas. I was just all over the place. I mean, I think my kids diagnosed me with ADHD.
So how would you describe yourself in junior high?
Just really, I think attention seeking. I wanted to class clown, just did a lot of things. I
mean, acting out.
Yeah. I'd go to class just to get kicked out of class and then I could go do what I wanted to do. So
I love this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when you got to high school, did anything shift or change?
Everything kind of shift when I was a junior. Sophomore was kind of the same kind of behaviors, just messing around, doing things that, you know,
not supposed to be doing. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But I'm not regretful of that. I learned a lot. It made me for who I am today. And especially as an educator, I'm able to tell that story and have that, that bond with some of those kids that are struggling the most.
I mean, you look at kids today don't get away with anything hardly. They just don't, man. Yeah. They get away with more than you think, but nothing like you did.
Because of these phones.
Yeah, man. Like social media and the videos and, you know, you can't say I wasn't at a party because there's 17 videos that show you at that party.
Yeah, that's true.
And or, you know, location services, you know, most parents today track their kids' phones.
Yes.
Jamie's over here laughing because it's a real thing.
We may or may not have Life 360.
Yeah. I mean, life 360. I mean, 19. All these things are out there, but, and people, you know, parents don't want to admit they're hover parents. Mm-hmm. They're doing it because they care and they fear, you know, what could happen because right. they, most parents know what they did or what they got away with or, you know, and most of the stuff isn't like it's terrible stuff.
Right.
But today it might be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Today it might be.
Yeah. Because of the way that it follows them for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
That stuff is archived in social media and just put out there. And
yeah. You think that you're just doing something that's not going to impact the rest of your life. And next thing you know, it impacts the rest of your life. It impacts, you know, school. Yep. It impacts friend groups. It impacts
work,
you know, work for sure. Mm-hmm. And they're just not aware what they're doing at the time and how long they're actually going to carry those things.
Right.
Some of the comments that are made and things like that. Do you remember what shifted for you then besides getting your driver's license? What shifted for you between sophomore, junior?
I think that the fear of the future, like I just didn't really think about what I was ever going to be and or what I was ever going to do with my life. I had a zero purpose. Like it was one of those things that, you know, the rapport, I was thinking back of it. If I had that rapport training when I was that age, it would have shifted a lot earlier and a lot quicker for me.
Yeah.
Because then it was just like, well, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know I can't close doors by not graduating high school.
Did you ask those questions to a counselor at that time or your parents or friends or what's my why back then?
No, not really. I mean, I was kind of into my own world and, you know, creating art and reading a lot and things like that, but I just never stepped outside. I never realized
that self-aware
things were there. Yeah. So
did you think, and again, I know we're like looking at this, you know, in the rearview mirror, but did you ever think to yourself, you know, I'm made for something else or I'm made for something or, you know, I've got these skills. Did you ever think that way?
All the time.
Yeah.
Even as an adult, when I was working through some of those jobs, I was like, I cannot just do this same motion.
When you talk about the creative part of you though, mm-hmm. That obviously was something that really inspired and motivated you.
Yep,
that creativity.
Yep.
You got that from your dad. Mm-hmm. Well, what's a gift your mom gave you?
She was a creative person in herself. She, you know, did a lot of things, her organization skills, her leadership skills. She taught me how to, you know, stand up for myself and to, you know, got into a lot of fights when I was a kid and she just, you know, you got to stand up and not let people, you know, take advantage of you and that type of thing.
So as a teenager, you know, 15 to 18 in high school, maybe 16 to 18, how would you describe yourself then?
Out of control. I think that just lost. So I just kind of reacted to things and not really thought things out with purpose, you know. And
did you have any, like, you didn't have awareness at the time for that?
Right.
You were just reacting.
Yeah.
Was accountability a thing at the time?
For myself or
yourself?
I don't know. I think that I just did what I did and then it was what it was. And then when I got older, I really started to regret some of the decisions I made and some of the people I've treated and the way I treated them and that sort of thing.
So how would you rate your friend group in high school?
A lot of them didn't finish. And that was a kind of a awakening for me is I just saw a lot of them just drop or, you know, place somewhere else. And pretty soon I didn't have most of my friends around me because the decisions that they've made. And I made this conscious effort of like, I've got to finish. And I think my parents had a lot to do with that too.
Yeah. Like,
you know,
so. Yeah. So that's something you're proud of doing.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. So you go through high school and what if you could give, you know, a couple pieces of advice to a teen in high school, now knowing what you know now, what's a couple pieces of advice you could give a teen today?
Just don't keep your eyes closed. Keep your mind open. The world, it really is whatever you want it to be. You just need to find the right network, find good friends, surround yourself with good people that are going to energize you and help you grow.
Amen.
Yeah. Speaking of good people, did you have any of those?
Oh yeah. I had great people. I mean, my brothers were always there. We, you know, we beat each other up all the time, but we also loved each other, you know, deep down. I don't know if I'd tell them out loud, but
sure you would.
Yeah.
We're going to do it right now. Yeah. Tell them right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but like educators, any teachers, coaches, did you play any sports or do anything like that? I know you were in that creative space, but what were some of the activities you were doing?
Yeah, I mean, I played, you know, little league comp at the rec and soccer, baseball, football, that type of thing. But when I got to, my grades just weren't good enough to do anything with. So I regret that piece. I think if I would have kept my grades up, I would have went down a different path and made, you know, some friends that would have been, you know, better for me.
Have you noticed the students that you get to surround yourself with now? Is there something that helps them, benefits them by them being involved in those sports and those activities?
Absolutely. And that has to do with relationships. I mean, once you start developing relationships with coaches and other peers that are doing the same things with you and kind of building each other up to succeed, because you've got to keep your grades up. You've got to be on your best behavior. You've got to, you know, act like a proper citizen while you're.
They level up. They're, you know, JJ always says it's, you know, the five closest people to you in your life. You're an average of those people. So
100%, you know, you are them.
Yeah.
You are them.
Yeah, that's who you are today.
That's
so
great. Yeah.
If you're hanging around with good people, I mean, you've got good mentors and coaches and you've got good teammates, then that's who you are now.
Right.
Right. You level up to that, those people.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
Great.
So when you get in this, I guess I'm almost saying it's like a time warp, mm-hmm. but you find yourself starting to get a little bit panicked about what you're going to do next. Mm-hmm. And as you get into the end of high school,
yep.
You know, you're a junior in high school. You recognize, man, my grades, yep. not great. I don't know what I want to do with my life. Yep. And this is almost over.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, what starts happening?
Well, college was out of the question. It's like, I barely made it through high school. I was like, no, there's no way I'm going to college. I don't have the money to go to college. I barely got the grades to graduate from high school. And, you know, what would I go for anyway? And
so you limited yourself on what your options were?
Absolutely.
Because of those things?
Yep. Just because I didn't believe in myself. I didn't have the focus or the vision or the confidence to say, I have this in me.
So that was my last question for you. Would you say that you are a confident
right now?
A confident person, yeah. Confident teenager?
Oh, yeah, I was confident in the way that I didn't, I mean, it was in the wrong way. I
don't like know you were more arrogant.
Yes. Yeah. So more arrogant. And I put on like this farce of like, I am strong and I'm all this, but deep down I really was lost. I didn't know which direction I was going to go. So.
It's pretty easy for you to see those kids now, isn't it?
Oh yeah, for sure.
You can pick them out pretty quick.
Yep.
Yeah. So you get out of high school. What's next?
So I went and worked a couple of jobs. Like I said, just meaningless, got a little bit of money and day-to-day paycheck type things, you know, and then had a couple of kids and the kind of just went on my life that way. And just at one point I just said, this is enough. I've
got it. Yeah. So let's talk about having kids.
Okay. So I moved in with my kids' mom. We had my son and my daughter. And
how far apart are they?
They're about 3 years apart.
Okay. Yep. So you had your son first.
Yep.
How was it being a new dad? How old were you?
Let's see. How old was it? 23 years old.
Oof. Yep. Yeah. Why not?
3 years old. Yeah. And that's what you did, I guess. You know,
yeah.
You
just kept that's working. What you did. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's more common than not.
Yeah.
It really is. But so you're 23 years old. Yep. You're in a steady relationship.
Yep.
And you have a son.
Yep.
And now you've got some responsibility that just showed up.
Yep.
Big responsibility.
Yep. So I'm just working and I just took whatever, you know, I moved up pretty quickly in every job that I was
in. What were you doing? What were some of the things you were doing?
So the first thing that I working at Coca-Cola is mm-hmm. like their loader. Moved up to like their loader lead or something mm-hmm. like that. Learned some management skills there and how not to
yeah.
do that. Yeah.
Well, we're going to talk more about that as we go through, because we always talk about, you know, most people in life, we always are preaching do, because if you're out there doing, you usually figure out how to chart your course by figuring out who you don't want to be and what you don't want to do.
Yep, exactly. And I learned those. I just took my authority. It was a difference between leadership and authority.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I took that title and I ran with it, you know, and I just was not good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
learned a lot.
Yeah. How would you describe yourself then?
Authoritarian. Yeah. Almost a tyrannical
leader. Yeah. I mean, you're taking the superpower, but you're taking the superpower of the teenager, right? Yep. You're adding a few years and a little bit of training, and now you're giving some authority.
Yep.
Right? I'm the boss.
Yep. Do the job. And
so you wonder why the outcome is a tyrant.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So you run that, right? And what was next? What was next after that job?
Started cutting meat. I don't know how that led. Somebody got me a job at one of the grocery stores being a butcher. And I loved it. I was working with my hands.
Butchers make good money, man.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, we know some butchers.
Harmons.
Yeah,
Harmons. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
And back then, I mean, it was good money for...
We love our butchers.
Yes. Yeah.
And I missed part of that job. I really do. And so then we had my daughter and just working different, went from... butchering to different, was working at a warehouse for a lifetime, eventually. And then at that point I decided, okay, now it's time for me to find out a more purposeful meaning for me. And that's when I decided I'm just going to go to school.
Wow. What age?
So I just can only imagine at 26 years old, you've got two kids and you're already struggling.
Yep.
It's not easy.
No. It's
every week, every day, every moment almost becomes just a grind and struggle.
Yep.
So how did you come to the place of there's got to be more?
Just felt like I was in a mental prison, every day just doing that same. And I love my job. I'm grateful that I had that job, but it just it wasn't me.
It wasn't the job.
Yeah.
That's what people don't understand. Yep. It's not the job.
Right.
There are people all over the place that do those jobs and love those jobs.
Yep.
That you knew wasn't.
It wasn't for me.
Your job.
Yep. You're working genius if you want to. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I just needed to be able to do something else that was more, more creative, more able for me to be who I was and not just kind of fit into that mold of doing that same thing every single day.
Yeah.
So, but I was grateful for it. I learned a lot there too.
So you were still with your children's mom at the time?
Yes.
Okay. So how did that conversation go over when you said you were going to go to school?
Well, to be honest with you, I with her, I did tell her, I did keep it hidden for a while, probably, about maybe a year.
Oh, wow. Why? That you wanted to do it?
Yeah, that I was in school.
Oh, that you were in school.
Yeah, so I went and kind of put everything in place and was in school and just was afraid to tell anybody because I didn't want people to talk me out of it or to
because it's tough.
This was
so right now you're in some degree could be perceived as cheating on your family, taking time away from your family, taking finances away from your family. I mean, you can look at it in all kinds of ways.
Exactly.
And what you're really doing is doing it for yourself and your family, and it's a risk.
Yep.
And the risk is, am I letting people down?
Right.
How am I going to be judged for this?
Yep.
Am I going to be rejected for it? Because it's already hard for you to do it.
Yep. Absolutely. And it was not an easy decision. And staying in it was just, it was hard. I lost that relationship. And part of that was probably I was working full time, going to school full time, put a lot of burden on my ex, which was, looking back, probably, unfair, depending on how you wanted to look at that. Yeah. But I met my wife during that journey and had another baby. And so we have a 13-year-old. So
nice. Wow.
And I couldn't have done it without all of those people, my children, my ex, my wife, especially. She took on a lot of that household burden, raised the kids and let me work full time, go to school full time. And so I'm grateful for her.
So how did you meet her?
Through work.
Yeah.
I was a butcher at Smith's while I was going to school because they were working with my class schedules and things like that. So I had to quit lifetime to go cut meat at Smith's to finish school. And that was my...
So you're working a job and that's someone that was fulfilling a need that you had to provide and allowing you the flexibility to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
Was it easy?
No, not at all. It was difficult.
Where did you fail?
where did I fail?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Cause I know you made it through it.
Yeah.
But it's pretty easy to turn around and go, okay, here's the moments that I failed. Here's the moments where I definitely, you know,
and that's where
there were other options than I actually thought there were for options. There were other options.
Yeah. And looking back, and this is what I tell my own kids, is just do it. You know, one of my biggest regrets is not having that time with my kids when they're little.
Yeah.
Cause it goes by so fast, you know, blink, and they're grown up, and I miss that time with them because I was in school and working. And, I tell my kids, just figure yourself out before you bring somebody else in, and try to get that foundation under control and
before you have
to sacrifice that.
But would you change it?
No.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, I mean, that's the conversation always, right? Yeah. It's like, you know, the better path, but you still wouldn't change it.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you think when you started going to school, did you know why you were going to school other than to just change, shift and do better?
No, I think that I knew that education was there.
So your focus was, I am going to go into education.
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
Because I was in business. I was a supervisor at Lifetime. I understood my path there, and it just was not, you know, I could keep moving up this ladder that isn't for me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to bash people that are in business, but I feel like I'm too human for business.
Yeah. I mean, it depends on where you're at and what you're doing, right? Yeah, there's lots of different businesses.
Yep.
You know, I can tell you that there isn't a business owner out there that doesn't want, when they start their business, to be the best, most humanized business ever.
Yeah.
You want to know who gets in the way of that?
Us.
That's right. I mean, It's just people doing people, you know, and we're complicated to some degree. You know, we're pretty simple for the most part, but we can be complicated. Yeah. But you go on this journey. How long does this journey of working full time and going to school full time take you?
Oh man, I could be a doctor right now. It took me 7 years
to
get through, but I mean, it was worth it. And I knew it was
going
to be that.
But if you would have started it earlier, do you think you'd have known where you were going and what you were doing?
Yep. Well, no,
maybe
no, absolutely not. Yeah. I think it took me that struggle of working in places. I mean, I loved those jobs for their reasons, but I also knew, like I said, it wasn't not for me. And so I wanted to be able to, grow through that and make mistakes and try to pick up, learn from everything that I did. Mm-hmm. But one of those things that I learned was there's something bigger and better for me, not financially or anything like that. It's just a better purpose, not miserable.
So
just
during this journey of 7 years, mm-hmm. 70% of a decade.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. I was going to frame that. You end a relationship. Mm-hmm. You start another relationship. You start a marriage. Mm-hmm. You have another daughter. Mm-hmm. And you work through it together.
Yep.
How important you already did a little bit of a shout out to how important everybody is or getting you through it, but how important really was it having that core? Why? Meaning the people.
I wouldn't have been able to finish. I mean, I would have been able to just drop everything. This is just too much financially, emotionally, mentally, just exhausting. What's the purpose? I could just go back and do what I was doing before.
That'd be fine. Yeah. It'd be easy. I can just quit doing this now. Button. I can go back. I can work this good job. I can provide. I'll eliminate all this extra stuff. I'll be there more. I'll be a better husband. I'll be a better father.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. But now I am all of that because of what I've done. I'm just such a happier person that I'm able to spread the joy and not the misery of the struggle anymore. You know,
is it going through the hard stuff that changes you? I mean, as I listen to you, you keep going back to this word purpose.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Did you discover that? I mean, I know we're not even close to the end, but mm-hmm. it just seems you're going through these hard things and it shifted your awareness. Just here's my purpose. Cause you said it wasn't money.
Yeah. And it's not, and it never was. That purpose, and you're absolutely right, JJ, is that struggle really makes things more profound, that meaning of life and the purpose. My purpose is more important because I have done that and I've made all that struggle a real struggle for me.
I agree with JJ on that, because as you're speaking, I just keep going back to, I have a son that's 19. He just graduated and he often feels like he's behind. Yeah. You know, he's
even though he's doing amazing
killer things,
but
in his own mind, he's behind all of his peers. And as I listen to you speak, one of the things that stood out to me is you were 26 when you made that life change. You were older and you still, you know, all those years you didn't know what you were doing. And I think that's important for kids these days to know and understand, especially with mentors that they look up to, that it's okay to not know and not have that destination right there and know it 100%. And you're not failing. It's okay to move forward. It's okay to miss a step. Maybe it's not a misstep. Maybe it's supposed to be there. But I think even for my own son, like when he listens to this podcast, I want him to understand that it's okay. Mm-hmm. He's moving forward, and that progression, that consistent progression moving forward is so important.
And failures are equally as important. Agreed. The mess ups, I screwed up and I did this and it took this much time. All those things, it's like everything that has value, every person that you value, you've worked hard for.
Yep.
There's been work, real work that's gone into that.
Yep. Absolutely.
And the older you get, it's not so much things anymore. Everybody would agree with that, and it's going to be the people, but we'll tell you, even for a teenager that has to work their tail off to buy a vehicle, man, does it have value? And we look at it and go, what a pile of junk, man. And it is the neatest, coolest, most, it's the greatest pile of junk ever because they earned it.
Yes.
And that stuff gets me so excited, is to see people working hard for things and actually watching it come to fruition. But, you spend that 7 years, what was it like to, because I know that that's not the finish line, but what was it like to complete that?
It was great. As soon as, my first year of teaching was the reward. It was like, this is joy. And you talk about hard. Yeah. That first year of teaching is tough. And everybody that's ever been a teacher that first year, a lot of them don't make it. I mean, it's a hard
They're doing job. It for the right reasons, but they don't understand what's there to eat them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, it was great. I had a great support system with Ogden School District, and I was teaching at Ben Lomond, which is where I'm an admin now. I mean, I moved around a little bit, but I'm glad I'm back. It's such a great family, such a supportive group of people that are in it for the right reasons.
And go Scots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so you go to work, it's your first year. What was that first year teaching like?
Scary. I mean, it was scary, even though at that time, I think I was 37 or 38 years old when I finally got that first teaching position.
And so you're now officially old enough to be their parents.
Oh, yeah.
And you start teaching there. And you know how young some of the teachers are today that enter.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean, they're young.
Yep.
And they're qualified.
Yep.
They've done their work. They're doing it for the right reasons, but wow, they haven't had the life experience that you've had up until that point.
Exactly.
So when you say it's scary at 37, I can only imagine at 23, 4, 5,
right.
6, which is where a lot of them are coming in, you know what I mean? 5 and 6 and 7, man, lots. That's scary.
Yeah, I could imagine. And we try to support them every way that
you support them. We'll get rid of the T word.
You don't T.
You're
only said a few times. It's only five bucks a time. We're going to dinner afterwards. Yeah. But that's what you guys work hard for, right? Yep. And it's important people understand that.
Right.
So you start your first year of teaching. What were some of the things that showed up that challenged you?
Just my own prisons that I've built of just my own fears, my own self-conscious, trying to be the best when I was
struggling
the best that I could. That's really what it was. I had a lot of
imposter syndrome.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. Exactly. That's exactly a good way to put it. And
what do you say to a new teacher? How do you coach a new teacher today? You've walked through that fire. What do you say to them? How do you help them?
Yep. Just stay calm. Find the support systems because it's there. Reach out, get some help. We're going to keep an eye on it. We've got you.
Yeah.
It's something that we try to make sure that every first year.
That's what you're doing. You're there to support every one of them. Yeah. Yep.
We're there to support them. Yeah, that T word's coming
out. Yeah, it is.
Now that we've told him about it, now it's flying
everywhere. How do you stay? I believe every teacher, whether it's a teacher, a coach, police officer, everybody goes into their profession just with passion and desire and to do the best. But somewhere along the line, some of them lose that. What have you done to continue, and also those teachers that are, you know, in your school, to keep them passionate about what they're doing? Because everyone goes for the...
Yeah, how do you actually start that? You've worked so hard for it. You now got the job. You know you're doing it for the right reasons. And yeah, maybe there is a little bit of imposter syndrome that's going on, but you know you're doing your best. You know that you are. And how long... You know, what are some of the things that showed up that put out that fire?
Just the struggle and the fear of not being good enough. Am I teaching the best way that I can? Am I teaching the right things? Am I spending the right amount of time on the right things? Those kids that have given up, what can I do to help them? Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can't. It's heartbreaking.
Do parents impact it?
Yeah, sometimes. I know that parents are there for the right reasons, and their perspective is to love their kids. And so I just
protect their kids, support their kids. Yeah.
And it's easy for me because I have my own children, which I have that same kind of energy. So I just have to remember that they're there to take care of their kids.
And they can make it hard.
Yeah. Yep.
They can.
Yep.
I mean, I've witnessed teachers that have really struggled, and most of the struggle hasn't came from the kids.
It's in your own head. I mean, we'll get to it, but I mean, in the training, we talk about powerless words and you can lay on the ground and you can, you know, I'm sure you're familiar with breath work or meditation, but when you say I am strong and you really believe that, and it's changing that thought process, I am a powerful, strong man. I will overcome. I am a leader. Yep. You know, when you really believe that, and you tie that into breath work and to meditation, and you believe that and not let those demons or what we call vultures, those negative thoughts into your brain, everything shifts.
Right.
And now you're in charge.
Yep. Absolutely.
And that's a big change for these kids and adults to understand that you are truly in control of your life. But you got to pick the right friends, and you got to pick the right thoughts, and then the right actions and the right disciplines and the right habits becomes your character.
Yep, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, that's great.
So you're there to help new teachers. You were the new teacher. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that journey in teaching, some of those ups and downs.
Well, I'm telling you, it's continuous. I don't think that, Ed, and I tell this to everybody, is I don't think education is ever just going to figure itself out and be good and, you know, perfect.
It's a moving, target. Thing. Yeah.
And if it doesn't move, then we're doing a disservice to our kids.
Yeah.
We've got to keep adapting. We've got to keep moving. We've got to keep evolving. We just don't have it figured out.
How would you describe kids today? There's kids get a lot of labels today, but how would you, as someone that gets to be around so many parents' most valuable thing in their life, their children, how would you describe some of these kids?
I've got to tell you, I've never met a bad kid.
Yep.
I've met kids that are lost. I've met kids that are bored. I've met kids that are misguided. I've missed kids that are troubled. I've met all those kids, but I've never met a bad kid that is just there to be bad. And so trying to figure out that key, and every kid has its own key. And that's where we're trying. That's where we're working on finding.
Thank you.
That. You're welcome. So finding that key for every individual student is something that we've just got to focus on.
That's a good way to say it. A key.
I love it because I believe it. I believe with all my heart that they're, you know, all these kids are great kids. They really are great kids. They just don't know how great they are. And they don't know their own keys. You know, when we talk to parents before they send their teens to class, we always tell these kids, even when they're in class, your parents were not delivered a handbook, a playbook, an owner's manual for you. And you may think you know all the answers to the test because you do know a lot of the answers to the test.
Right.
It's you. They do not. Yep. Most parents are raising you the way they were raised, the opposite of the way they were raised, or somewhere in between, right? Yep. That's how they roll because that's what they know. And we get to see kids in their most vulnerable yet most powerful settings. And we love that because it exists in every single one of them, mm-hmm. every one of them.
Yep, absolutely.
And you've been able to see some of those things. Mm-hmm. You know, as you think back, there's like, we call them defining moments in our lives where we have defining moments. A defining moment was when you had a son. Mm-hmm. Okay. Defining moment is when you have a son and a daughter and you decide you're going to go back to school. Right. Those are just defining moments, you know, getting married, having a daughter, like those are all big moments. What are some defining moments you've experienced in being an educator?
I think the watching the turnover of teachers is something that really stands out to me, is something that we have got to keep an eye on as administrators and as a community, almost as a society. When we cannot hold on to teachers because of, you know, that the struggle, it's real.
Is it because there's not a lot of gratitude coming towards the teachers for what they're doing? I mean, where do you get your cup filled?
Yeah.
If you're there to serve our youth and educate our youth, what fills the cup?
Yeah, that's a thankless job for sure. For me, it's that relationship with the students, and that's what keeps me going. And even especially as a teacher, when I can see that impact that I'm making on that kid's life, and not just in my class, but also how am I developing that person as a human being?
Is that one of the consistent themes for teachers that stick with it?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to find joy. And I think that you became a teacher to help and finding those students that need the most.
Because we all know it's not because you get summer vacation, because you guys never get vacation. Yeah. I always thought, you know, teachers, man, it's summer. They're like off work. No, it's like they have this ending to the season, and then they have like everything that has to be done when it's off season, and then they're getting ready for, like, so their summer vacation is not 90 days. It's like a couple of weeks of fun, and they get to kind of have a little bit more relaxed schedule. But during school time, it's chaos.
Yes, absolutely. And I appreciate you realizing.
Yeah.
I mean, most teachers work all year long.
And if you're more than even a teacher, if you're someone that's part of a club or a coach or anything,
soccer,
I look at it and go, oh man, they make no money per hour, dude. Yeah. When you start adding on all those hours, and then I look at how much they have to, you know, come up and get creative on how to make things happen because they've got this great idea. And what happens when a teacher has a great idea? Administrators are like, that sounds great. You know, what's my budget? And it's like, well, figure it out.
Yeah, zero.
I have a couple of friends that are teachers and my eyes were really opened once I realized like, yeah, they clock out on a time clock, but then they go home, they do lesson plans all night long. They correct papers all night long. Yep. And so I think it's important for us as parents, myself included, like, it does take a village. And if we can support our teachers can support our kids and so on and so forth. And so I think we as parents need to do a better job in trusting our kids and those around us and knowing that they do have well-intentioned. The world is definitely can be a terrible place.
But you can't let actions of a small few,
exactly.
I mean, I just watched a video and it was a story article that was a professor on his deathbed, literally last moments alive. And what is he doing? He's grading those final papers.
I definitely
crazy.
Well-intentioned.
And I'm just going, nah, that's why they do it.
Yeah, it's purpose.
You know? So education's easy. That's what I took from this. Education's really easy. Being an educator is really easy.
Yeah. But that's, I mean, it's the love of what we do that keeps us going, and the joy, and it's, you've got to not hang on to all of the toxicity and the negativity and things that surround it. I mean, you look at the media and the schools, and the teachers are getting beat up left and right, and we're, you know, all these things, but you need to focus in on the what we're doing as a whole, and not looking at those small little instances that are.
Yeah, we want to measure those little tiny pieces or instances or this person instead of looking at the whole big picture.
It's the ripple effect of impacting a child.
Yep.
Exactly. And making a difference, and then that child impacts somebody else.
Yep.
That's what I hear you saying.
Pretty much every teen we've had on, you guys, has talked about a teacher,
a coach.
That it was just that one person.
Yes.
It takes one.
And I don't even know if that person even knows the impact.
Oh, no.
And we don't know that. You just get to show up the same way, but you don't know the impact you make. And maybe you may never know, but what we know is, based on our limited amount of time we get to spend talking about it, it is very common that they know that it's those that they had that one person that believed in them. They had that one person that challenged them. They had that one person that, you know, listened to them cry, had that one person that lifted them up when they were in a deep, dark place. You know, sure. Just that one person.
The one person that saw you.
Yeah. The one person that could see them.
Bev Watkins. I was 15.
Yeah.
And she changed my life. All of us have them.
Yeah.
Just one person that believes in you when maybe you don't believe
these superheroes that are teachers and coaches and mentors and counselors. Yeah. So how did you find yourself in a rapport class?
Yeah.
I mean, I know the story. I know how you found yourself in class.
Yeah. So this came down, I think, indirectly from the superintendent was
I've been on him like a rat on a Cheeto.
Who's that, by the way?
Call him out. Mr. Luke Rasmussen.
Yeah.
Nice.
It is an all in due time when that man, when that big bundle of joy and love is going to find himself in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he's such a great leader, such a great man. And he really talk about somebody that's in it for the right reasons. That is one guy that's really putting up the fight.
Yeah.
He's trying. So
he's got it in him too. That guy's got more energy than 10 people.
Oh yeah.
But he won't back down.
Yep.
He's not going to give up.
Yep.
Yeah. That's why he's in that position.
Oh yeah.
He's a big guy, but man, he's got a big heart for what he's doing.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we need people like that, especially leading us.
So how did Luke reach out to you?
Got an email saying, hey, we're interested in this training. And you know, I'm a growth mindset, lifelong learner. So I'm absolutely. And I had no idea what this training was about. And I've actually have some friends that were at my graduation that had gone through it. And they talked a little bit about some trainings. And, you know, it's just one of those things that just kind of went over my head until I was in it.
Yeah.
I was like, man, I wish I would have paid more attention.
Yeah. Where else in your life does this show up? Yeah.
So where did you go when you went to training? Where did you go?
And you didn't get to go, but you didn't have to go by yourself. You went with someone else.
Yeah, there was a buddy of mine that was at Ogden High School
who's
in the administration. He's doing his internship up there. And so he got the same email, apparently. And so we was like, let's do it. And so we got up there and we learned a lot.
You guys met just here in August. It was only a month ago. It was almost a month ago right now.
Class,
you guys met in West Haven at the park.
Yep. Nice.
And you got dropped off and boarded the coach for Daniel's Summit.
Well, nice. I picked up my backpack, my pink backpack that I'm very proud of now.
That's right.
Yes.
I told Jamie at one point that became my security blanket. So I was grateful for that.
Isn't it crazy that when you first receive that power pack, you go, what could I possibly need?
What am I doing with this?
This thing? For?
Yeah.
What is this all about?
Yep.
And by the time you complete it, you love that thing.
Yeah, I don't want to let it go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you find yourself on a road trip to Daniel's Summit.
Yeah.
What did you experience? What did you learn?
We talked. I met some of the people that were on the bus. And we're just talking a little bit about our backgrounds and what we're doing, that sort of thing.
And you got to go with a bunch of kids.
Yep. Some of the kids. And, you know, there was one kid individual that was one of our ex-students. He actually was one of Justin's, the other educator that was with me. he was in his class, and then I was his assistant principal at Mount.
Wow.
Oregon. So perfect. Yeah, it was great. And that's, you know, that was the kind of thing that clicked for me when I'm watching all those kids go through that. It was like, what an impact this is could create with, you know, these kids that I'm working with and my own kids. I mean, I want my daughter to go through this. Yeah. She's old enough. So
yeah,
it's going to change her
soon. Very soon.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we don't need to walk through the training. Really, we want to know, what did you learn?
I learned that I need to work on myself. There's a lot of things about leadership of like, I can do this, I could pass this on, I can do all these things, all these tasks, but what really needs to happen is I need to work on myself. Mm-hmm. I need to, you know, my empathy, as sad as that sound, is being empathetic is something that I sometimes have to remember, especially in a leadership position when things need to be done. And so trying to remember, put yourself in that other person's shoes and their struggle that they're going through, and keeping that in perspective as you're working through challenges. I need to make sure that when I stood up and said, I need to be a better husband and a better friend, is you've got to work. You've got to nourish those relationships and not just be good enough, like JJ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So true.
So I learned that I can make a bigger impact than what I'm doing. And I think that's my biggest takeaway.
So you learned what 100% really was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you get some fire in you?
Oh yeah. Yep. And
I mean, you did that right before school started this year.
Oh, it couldn't have happened at a better time. And I officiated that wedding that week.
Oh, wow.
The weekend after.
Were there some tears?
Oh, man. I couldn't have done a better job if it wasn't for that training. That training really impacted the way that I provided that service. And so I was grateful for that. I mean, the timing couldn't have been perfect. Before school, too. I mean, I went in the first day, I met with the teachers, and I was fired up. I just was so passionate about being there, and that class really put that in me.
Yeah. And the easy thing is for those things to dwindle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the reason why it's easy is because, you know, we talk about the ripple, mm-hmm. you know, it's a big pond. Right. And if you're a small wave, it's a big pond.
Yep.
Right. And you got to link with others. And it really is about asking for the help from others. You know, understanding who you want to be mm-hmm. and how you want to show up, that's great.
Yep.
You'll only really get there when you let other people know who you want to be and how you want to show up. Because when you're not that person in that moment, in that time, man, I just want to know that I'm not that person so that I can work even harder at it.
Yeah.
Because people will give you, you know, they'll be there to support you in that, especially when you're showing up as that, you know, with those superpowers. They want to help you with them, and they're not going to, you know, hold your feet to the fire necessarily as long as you continue to work towards that. But it's like everyone moving in that direction together. That's when you get some momentum.
Yep. So you could carry around your own toolbox, or you could reach out and borrow other people's.
And that's, oh man,
really what we need to.
Have you really noticed some of the superpowers in some of your staff now?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And some of them, especially the new teachers, because it's like they're really nervous and not figuring out who they are and as a teacher and that sort of thing. But you can see the strength in them because of the things that I've been through. It's like, you're going to be fine.
Yeah.
Let me tell you how awesome and amazing and powerful you are. Let me just tell you for a moment, because I can see that. I know this about you right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can see that. Wow.
And so, and in our kids too, you know, some of our kids that are, it's easy for me to see the behaviors because I was that kid, but they're not bad kids. And it's just seeing their superpower,
mm-hmm.
getting them to see their own superpower is the trick. And that's something.
It's work, but they have to experience it for themselves to get it. You can't tell them. Like, they will hear. What's crazy is, you know, we tell our kids all the time, we love them, we're proud of them, all these things, but they usually remember someone else telling them and then come back to them remembering us telling them. It's like they really get it when the teacher tells them or the coach tells them. That's when they get it.
They
usually realize later, yeah, my mom and dad have been telling me that all my life. It's like, yeah, they have. We know it because they love you and care about you. But it's almost like they kind of take that for granted, but it's when that one outside person outside of their circle just has that glimmer of hope that they see that special bright light in that child, and all of a sudden they believe it, man. They see it now. They can feel it.
Yep.
You know, and their peers can do it even faster.
Oh yeah.
When their peers get on their team, boom. That's why our training works.
Yep.
The process. Yes. Process is a beautiful process. Yeah.
So
the
what
training works from the peers.
What would you tell an adult or a teen that wants to go through this class, knowing what you know now? You know, you told us about the features, advantages, benefits that you got out of there. Mm-hmm. But you know, if somebody came and said, "Hey, would you recommend this class?" What would you say?
The message being a teacher, it's going to a teacher, you know, because we're going to be focused on getting some other educators to go through to be a part of what we're doing. But let's talk about a parent.
Okay.
A parent has to trust someone to send their child to this training, Jeff. Who are they going to trust?
Yeah.
They got to trust you.
Right.
Right. Yep. And the student to really be on board, this teenager to go.
Yeah.
And follow through with it, to apply themselves, to go for it. Yep. They've got to trust you too.
Yeah. That's a difficult question, because where do I focus? Because there's so much that I took away from that training and put myself as a 16 year old going through that. I don't know what I would take away from, except for that confidence piece and being able to have the strength to find who you are at that age. You know, what a powerful impact that could have changed my trajectory of my whole life. I really think it would have.
It's a game changer.
But how would you encourage a parent? What would you say to a parent who, you know, you're going to have an opportunity to nominate teenagers to go to this class? That's going to be a gift that has been given to you to do this every single year.
Yep.
To just pick out some kids that, you know, man, they're it.
Yep.
They're going to go far. As soon as they believe in themselves, they're going to go far, and you get to pick those kids. And you know, you're working with thousands of kids, and yet we only get to work with, you know, a couple hundred.
Yeah.
And so it's a limited group. What would you say to the parent? What would you say to a parent to get them to understand how important it is for them to trust you to do this?
I think that I love their kid, and I'm looking out for the best of for them, and not creating anything that I don't believe in. I'm passionate about this, and I really truly believe that this could change somebody's life at that age, and even my age. I mean,
it's like
almost 50 years old, and
you know, we've heard over the years, you know, you need this. And man, when we hear you need this, we all cringe a little bit, because it's like, well, you know, I know where you're coming from when you say that. So I respect what you just said. We believe they deserve it.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with them. And it's not like you want to change them.
Right.
You know, you didn't go to class to change.
Right.
You went to class to get focused.
Yep.
You went to class to light that fire into a burning inferno. All it did was shine a spotlight or accentuate what you already are, who you already are, you know, what you already have been focused on. You know, that's all it did was just magnify those things.
Exactly. Yep.
It didn't create anything new.
Nope.
Yeah.
This is actually one of the biggest questions I get when I get the opportunity to talk to parents is, well, I've already taught my kids these things. So when I talk about the ripple effect, you know, for those that don't know the ripple effect, it's respect, integrity, personal power, passion, leadership, and enthusiasm. Mm. And so when I tell parents that, they're like, well, I've already taught my kids these things. The reason in part why the training works is because they have such a great foundation, which consists of parents, administrators, teachers, everyone that's helped build that.
Coaches, and
all
friends.
All we're doing is building upon that. We're not going in to change the child or the teen. It's literally building on the skills and abilities that they already have, and hoping along the way, not hoping, we know that they're going to see the things in themselves that we see in them.
Yeah.
And so it definitely
if they're already doing great, it's like, okay. And is there another level?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Level.
You know, one of the things we talk about is your playing small does not serve this world. And that's because, you know, we've got kids that, man, they have been shrinking themselves to fit into the groups they're with. They've been shrinking themselves by not challenging themselves, and they're still doing great, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
But if they really took the rein, if they really let those reins free, and if they really applied themselves 100%, incredible.
Yep.
What can happen?
Yep.
And they get to take others with them. You know, that's the thing, is when they raise the bar, the people they're around raises their bar. And why not challenge the educators? Why not be so bold? Why not be so audacious with your goals and your dreams that it challenges even your educators mm-hmm. to think differently, to be, to show up different.
Yep.
You know, level up.
Yep. And it's to be dream. Brave, it yeah. is, you know, it's a scary thing, but it's something. And you talk to a lot of people about their own experiences. That's why we can't really talk about it, because I don't know what you're going to take away from it. I know
we're going to have 20 people here different. And all 20 all would talk about something yes, a little bit different. Exactly. Yeah.
And I think that's an important piece. And like Jamie was saying, those kids that have already been taught all those things, well, they may learn a lot more because of they're learning it for themselves.
Yeah.
And it's such a personal process that it's just like Brett was saying, is you can tell people certain things, but until they go through it themselves, that's where the learning happens.
It's experience. Changing. You just get to go do and experience and live. And yeah, life is that daring adventure.
Yeah. So looking forward. Mm-hmm. So right now it's September, 2025. Oof. 5 years from now, we're in 2030.
Oof.
Where's Jeff? What have you accomplished personally in your career?
Family. Where do you see yourself?
Yes.
Oof.
Oh, yeah. I've changed a lot of lives. I'm going to have a lot of kids looking up. And like, I love Mr. Martinez for everything that he did for me and believed in me.
Yeah.
My kids are going to love me. My wife's going to love me more. Already do.
I've had the opportunity about, you know, how this man has touched people in his past and in his life. And just being able to hear, you know, a friend of mine that has known Jeff most of her life, and just the impact that you made on her up until now. We learn in the class up until now. Mm-hmm. And you maybe only saw a fraction of yourself before training. And to be able to know that about you prior and then now see what you're going to do with it with other youth as well. I'm excited.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure meeting you.
Yeah. Thank you. It's an honor. I really am. I'm blessed to be here, and thank you for all the opportunity to be part of the class and this podcast.
We're excited to see you for years and years to come, brother. We're excited to see the kids. We're excited to love on those kids as well.
Yeah.
We're excited to work together with you.
Thank you.
With Ogden School District.
Yeah.
And we're excited to change some lives.
Yeah. I'm excited too.
All right, Jeff, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah, I think there is something I would like to add. There's a couple of incidences that have happened pretty recently that had made me respond in a way from the training that I think is powerful for your audiences to hear.
Yeah, I mean, we've got to hear a lot about your life story, mm-hmm. you know, and why you do what you do. And so absolutely love to hear.
Okay. Well, there was I work at Ben Lomond High School, as you guys know, and there was a couple of incidences that have happened. And as I reflected on that and how this leadership training had prepared me, I responded in a way that I think was more impactful than it would have without that training. And so that first instance was that bomb threat that we received.
Yeah, that was something that shook everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, we hear about that stuff all the time.
Yeah.
You know, not here.
Not in our backyard, yeah. For sure.
Yep. And it happens all the time. And I think it's increasingly getting worse, in my opinion, just because of the way society is and the way that there's a lot of, I don't know, pressure with teens and kids that a lot of anonymous, you go through social media and all those things without being discovered, right? And so I think they're getting more brave with some of the threats and things like that. And so it's important that we just teach our kids, like, this is serious stuff. This causes some impact, right?
You know, you started with the training helped you, and in what way did it help you respond?
So all this is immediate, right? But as I stop and reflect on that, it was, you know, the just focus and do it. That was the biggest thing that stands out to me. And without that, it would have, I mean, that panic sets in. That's a human response, right? And so that panic kind of crept in a little bit at first. You know, I think that was just a natural response to just be safe. And I have 1,000 kids that I need to make
sure they're one, safe. Yeah, there's 1,000 most important people.
Yes.
You're taken care of.
Yep. You send your kids to school and you expect them to come home.
So during that, you know, you go back to the training and you're talking about just focus, do it, JFDI. Mm-hmm. Before we started, you also talked about being calm.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
That was the confidence too of just saying, okay, I can do this. I've been through a lot and I can do this too. And just focus what needs to happen now and how do I get things moving.
So walk me through that. You get the phone call and walk me through in your head what you were thinking. What are the next steps? Mm-hmm. Phone call. You mentioned a couple things that you did immediately, but can you walk us through that scenario?
Yeah. So the secretary comes in. Jeff had just got a call. The principal was out because he had been out on medical reasons. And so really it was me and the other admin, a couple of assistant principals and our interns. So I knew that it was like, somebody needs to make this decision. We need to make it now. We do not have time to play around with this is a prank or not, which you never know. You've got to act on everything as if it's real, because you never know. And so that was the call that I got. I made a decision, brought the resource officer in and say, let's go into evacuation so we can sweep the school.
So you go into evacuation, which is no small task. Right. You're going to evacuate 1,000 students out of the school immediately.
Yep.
And you're doing that because that's what needs to happen right now.
Yep, exactly.
Based on the information you're given, you make the call, you evacuate the school, then what?
So then that's when, you know, we get a lot of support from the district. I'm not claiming that everything was on me, because I have to just make the call. And then we get a lot of support from the district. We had district personnel there right away. We had response police officers.
Dispatch.
Yeah.
But from the moment that call comes in, you're making the call.
Yep.
And everyone's feeding off of your information, your energy in that moment at that time. So the way you're responding is also the way they respond to the situation.
Right. Exactly. And so that was that calm demeanor that I was referring to, is that training really kept me strong in the head of, we have just got to remain calm. We've got to make the right decisions. We've just got to get things rolling, make sure that these kids are safe.
Yeah. I mean, that was something that, you know, you never wish upon anyone. Uh-huh. And it's not like when you sign up for that role and that responsibility, it's like, hey, and by the way, this is also your job.
Yep.
Yeah, it was.
Yep.
In that moment. And you responded immediately, decisively, that JFDI piece, and then stayed calm, which allowed everyone else to JFDI as well.
Right.
And you know, the sounds of things, that's exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. Everyone responded in a calm manner, quickly and efficiently. Once the authorities rolled up, though, then it's, what do we need to do?
Yep. So, and then that's when it kind of escalated to, was there was something that caused them to think that there may be some danger in that vicinity. So now we go into reunification, where we transport all the kids to an offsite location to reunify with families and check them out of school and all that. So that was a whole different piece once we got there. And that was another piece that came in with the training. We talked about staying calm. We talked about being confident. And then all of a sudden this enthusiasm that I had that I'd never...
That you were tapping back into.
Yes.
Yeah.
So once we got in there, it was just, okay, control and order. You've got to be loud. Somebody gave me a megaphone and they said, Jeff, you're louder without the megaphone.
Yeah, put down the megaphone. use your big boy. Use that projection you worked on. Yeah, you're like, okay, yes, I've got this. Yeah.
So lining up kids, lining up parents, giving them direction, giving them.
And for our listeners, that's where you were reuniting.
Yep.
Connecting all of these students with their loved ones.
Yes. Yep.
Making sure.
Yep.
They got home.
Communication went out through the district. They sent them all out to parents. This is what's happening. You're welcome to come down, pick up your kids, but there's got to be a system because we're not releasing your kid to just anybody. So
yeah.
Great.
It was,
yeah. I mean, that's a parent's worst nightmare to start getting those things or seeing those things. I mean, the visual of SWAT teams and snipers is, I mean, that shakes you.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And there is some repercussions of that. We have to make sure that they understand that we were doing everything. And that was out of my hands. I mean, that was
that's the action the authorities take. Then their priority is keeping everyone safe.
Yeah. Exactly. And so that's all we could address. I mean, there were some kids shook up because they saw snipers. The teachers shook up.
Yeah. That's not a normal snipers. Day at school.
Yeah.
So it was hard.
So after all this is done, a day or two or three, did you address the school and get them in the auditorium to just talk? Curious.
So the district was very responsive to all of this. So they had a lot of counselors on hand.
Awesome.
That next day, we're going back to school the next day. We didn't find anything because if we did, we wouldn't have gone back to school the next day. Right.
Yeah.
But we knew that there was going to be a lot of trauma. And so that's where the district responded. And they had a lot of people to be available to talk through things, to get some of that trauma off your chest. And so faculty and students.
Yeah. I mean, it encompasses all of the above.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I think about that and I go, you know, it wasn't by chance that you went to the class.
Yeah.
I know it was a really last minute thing for you when you went to class, but you still made the choice to do that when you went.
Yeah.
And knowing that just even in that moment in time, you were able to just do you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And use all those tools and bring it to fruition. It's incredible.
Yep.
And it's profound. It's exciting. And yet so respectful. I mean, just so much gratitude for you for doing that.
Yeah. And I am grateful for the opportunity to go to that class. It changed me and it changed the way that I respond to things like this. Right.
Yeah.
Not that I like to do that by any means.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, you look at, you know, why would an educator or a coach go out on a skinny branch, we call it, and take up the offer or the challenge to do that, you know. And I will say that there's some, you know, leaders that go, hey, you know what, Brett, we do a lot of investing in leadership training. We do. We invest in a lot of leadership training. That's the way that they package it. And, you know, we always say, look, this is not like anything that you have ever done before. I don't know how to package it in a way for you to understand that without you experiencing it. So what would you say to another, you know, teacher, educator, coach, about taking that opportunity?
You know, I talk to people about this, not only with the people that I work with and with my family, and I don't go into detail because I want them to, if they ever go through that, I want them to take away like I did, which was a very personal experience. Mm-hmm. And not everybody's going to come out of it in the same way, but I tell them that it really impacted the way that I live my life. You know, I talked about my family already and how much I appreciate the opportunity to live my life with them. And
there's more work to do.
Yes, absolutely.
But you get to do it.
Yes. And it woke me up. I mean, I think JJ, you said it perfectly, was you were just there, right? You were just coasting, you know, it was good enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so taking that and saying, okay, I'm not going to be good enough. I'm going to fill that dash just a little bit more. And
deeper, wider. Yeah. Longer.
Yep.
Amen.
The whole time you're talking, all I can think about is how well what you're doing represents what we stand for, which is the ripple effect.
Yeah.
Like you went for you, but watching, you know, even the events that the unfortunate events that you've had to deal with lately, that's come your way, but just the ripple effect around those around you that your training has done.
I'm very excited for the staff, for the kids, you know, that they've got someone like you to look up to that's there. You know, everybody needs that solid backstop in life or that person to catch them. And knowing that they're going through something difficult with someone like you, it's inspiring and motivating. And again, just so grateful for all that.
Thank you.
Yeah. It also reminds me of Mike Whitaker always says it best. We never know when that random Thursday will show up. It's whether or not we're prepared for that random Thursday and be able to use the toolbox, right? And yep. And you, unfortunately, it was a random Thursday that showed up and you had those tools in your toolbox to be able to pull out and use as they needed to be used. And so it's...
Yeah. And I thank you. I thank you for mentioning that because that's the reason why I wanted to add this to that is because that was an important thing that needed to be said was I don't think I would have reacted the same way without that class. And so I think it's important. And that's why I tell people that I'm close to and how much I believe in this training and I'm going to get more people involved. So
well, and we're leaders of our own family, which, you know, is the most important thing to me and to everybody around here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, hopefully we never have to deal
you
with
you just
that
got
in
a big
house.
Family.
Yeah.
I know that as a parent listening to someone like you speak makes me just my heart swell knowing that my kids are in the right space with the right people. You know, it doesn't mean you get to touch them all every day, but however you touch them, however you impact them, you know, that it's just, again, so much gratitude,
Thank you, gratitude. Yeah. And that's my why. Yeah. I mean, when I boil it down to, I mean, that is my why is I want to be better with our society and our kids and I want them to have a purpose like I do.
Right? Yeah.
I agree with Brett. The lives that you have touched this far, and those that you will, and the lives that your ripple effect will touch the lives of so many. I, as a parent as well, I know we're all parents in this room. You are touching lives every day, whether it's our children's, whether it's somebody else's. I feel more comforted knowing that there's administration like you that are willing to take the leadership that you're offered and be able to put it into
the schools.
That it's not a
paycheck. It's a beautiful building because it's full of VIPs.
More than that, you know? Our kids are not just a number.
Nope.
So thanks for allowing the kids to not be a number.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, let's go. Let's get it done.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate you changing my life and I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to change others. And we're going to do this all together. Like Brett said.
Yeah. Absolutely. See you at the gala.
Okay.
That's all.
Respect, integrity, passion, personal power, leadership, enthusiasm. This has been the Empowering Youth Podcast from Building Utah Youth. To become part of the 3%, visit Building Utah Youth on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, or on our website at buildingutahyouth.org.